As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." The man said to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he had heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord. Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Martin Luther would have called that a trick question, because we don't. Eternal life is a gift, a precious gift from God. But since the question was out there, Jesus thought he'd play along. "You know the commandments." But the commandments weren't enough. Now, you all know, I think you've probably all been churchgoers long enough to know the whole thing about the camel and the eye of the needle. And you've probably heard a few loopholes about it as well. Like, well, the eye of the needle was actually an ancient door, and it was hard to get through. Jesus is laying out a simple little story here about priorities. And it's good for us, brothers and sisters, once in a while, just to be reminded about ours. Imagine, especially church council and finance committee members, imagine if somebody came to my office during the week seeking some counsel. And this person was really famous, like rock star famous, Like, they'd cut albums and were on the top 40 famous. And they were rich beyond measure. And they said, you know, I have all of this, but something's still missing. Tell me about the kingdom of God. And what if I said, well, you know, there's the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, defraud, honor your father and mother. And what if this fabulously wealthy and famous person said, I've done all of these since my youth. Can I be a member of your church? And what if my response was, you lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow Jesus. How long could I still work here? Because no matter what we say about following Jesus and having no other gods, there are always other priorities vying for our attention. Financial security. You know, Jesus didn't say it's a bad thing. And certainly there were people who supported the early church, that the early church couldn't have done the kind of ministry that it did without them. But their priorities were the gospel. Loving the poor and the ill and the infirm and the outcast. Their priorities were following Jesus. Some of you woke up today to the news that Archbishop Romero is now a saint in the Catholic Church. If somebody would have said that in 1980, they'd have been laughed out of whatever room they were in. Because Archbishop Romero took his vow to follow Jesus so seriously. He defied the church. The church institutional didn't want to have any part of him. And some of you know my connections to El Salvador, and some of you might have to catch up a little bit. But my last church had a partnership with the Lutheran Church in El Salvador. And I've been down there, I don't know, 10 times. And the Lutheran bishop had been a Sunday school student of Archbishop Romero, who was just Father Romero back then. And the church turned its back on the poor. But Romero did not. The institutional church sided with the death squads. Romero did not. It was a huge, huge risk. And when the church institutional turned its back on the poor and the needy and those most helpless, I mean, villages were just mowed down. That's when the Lutheran Church came to be in El Salvador. The Lutheran Church decided we're going to stand with the poor and the oppressed. And so I've learned more about following Jesus, I think, from the Lutherans in El Salvador than I have in seminary or anywhere else. So So in 1980, when Romero was serving Mass, he was executed during Mass. He didn't stand with the priorities of the powerful. Even with the institutional church of his day, he said, no, my heart is with the poor people. In 1980, he was almost considered an enemy of the church. Today, the church put a camel through a needle, and he has been canonized as a saint. Popularity isn't a measure of following Jesus. Keeping your eye on Jesus and what he did and what he said is. And so as we consider our own lives, this is what we do on Sundays. How do I go out and live on Monday? What are the priorities in your life that are holding you back from following Jesus? I know as a Milwaukee Brewer fan, we were teasing this morning. You know, maybe we'll drive up to Milwaukee and have a free George Webb burger on Thursday. George Webb burgers are awful. Or maybe we'll go see the nuns on a bus on Wednesday. They're in Peoria. They are trying to speak the gospel. Because sometimes the institutional churches side against the gospel. And you all have your own ideas what that means. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. In the end, there is just one to whom we must render an account. The one is gracious and slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and worthy of our allegiance, our trust, our praise. May the grace and peace of that one keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.